I thank you that you desire to bless. I thank you for this wonderful privilege of honoring you. A wonderful privilege of partnering with you in your purposes. I am so excited that we get to engage in this way. Father, I thank you that Jesus, you rise up as our high priest. And you rise up and you declare the richest blessing for your people right now. Let your glory be manifest. Let it be revealed in every heart and life. Be honored in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Check one, two. How you doing? You good? Come on, stay excited now. Come on, it's not over. It's good, good. Come on. You know, we're stepping into the next few weeks. We're in the period after the resurrection of Christ and between his ascension and between the resurrection and the ascension, Jesus came. The resurrected Christ came and he began to teach his disciples. Wasn't that amazing? And he spent that period of time teaching them and ministering to them. I mean, here they were. I mean, as much teaching as they had before the cross, I mean, the cross really wrecked them because they said, wow, I didn't expect that, even though they should have. Even though we taught them that this is what's coming, they didn't see what was going on. And Jesus took the time after his resurrection to spend time with them and to minister to them and to teach them. And all four Gospels now talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but all four Gospels also record the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They record that Jesus will come, and Jesus' purpose for coming was to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You know, when all four Gospels say something, we know that there's four strong witnesses to something God wants to make very, very clear, and he wants to establish in the hearts of every person. So four things are said, and those four things are important. We need to pay attention to those things. Amen. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to work up going through Pentecost, and we want to talk to you about that. I'm going to establish some groundwork here today, a lot of stuff we're going to go through. So you're going to have to provide your own inspiration maybe and just pay attention and really dig in, all right? So give me a slide there. You're just a slide behind me right there. All right. All four Gospels record the death, burial, and resurrection. All four Gospels talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we need to pay attention. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew 3, 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is talking about the ministry of Jesus. John the Baptist was a forerunner. John the Baptist, it says that the law and the prophets were until John. John was preaching out of that old covenant. Even his message of repentance was out of an old covenant mindset. But you see, John was the forerunner, and the forerunner, the PR man of Jesus, the guy who God established to go ahead and announce my son is coming and tell them what he's going to do. Announce to them that he's coming and tell them, outline for him what his ministry entails. Now, what did John say? John said in all four Gospels, John said, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. So I would reckon if the guy who was the PR man, if the ads, if the things that go before, if the, you know, the little snippets they give you of the movie before the movie comes out to try to get you into the movie, those trailers, they say a trailer, if there was a trailer about the ministry of Jesus, it would have been, he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Come, coming to a town near you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That was the most important summary John could make of Jesus' ministry. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. What's he going to do? He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach some stuff. He's going to minister to us. He's going to manifest the Father. He's going to reveal the glory of God. What's he going to do? He's going to baptize you. Why is he coming? To get you completely pickled and saturated in the Holy Ghost. So much of the church is unsuccessful in that, and yet that was the purpose for Jesus coming. Not so that you'd learn the Bible, not so that you could memorize verses, not so that he could, you know, show you some stuff, but he wanted to get the Holy Ghost in you, manifesting, tabernacling, habitating in you, and through that, he would fill the earth with his glory. The whole ministry of Jesus summarized in that. Let's look at Luke. Luke. Luke 3:18, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Yes, the fire, hallelujah, the fire of judgment. No, it's the fire of wonderful, glorious love. It's the fire of embrace. It's the fire of acceptance. It's the fire of identification. John 1:33, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, and remaining, and remaining. This is who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, 4 to 5, Jesus teaching them. He commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. There's a promise. Remember, I promised you, remember in the upper room there when we were before crucifixion, remember I was talking to you all about the Comforter, the Helper. I was going to go, but it's better that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send him to you. Remember that? Remember the promise? Well, this is it, fellas. This is it. John 16, verse 7, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. So I don't know what the rules are, but apparently only one of the Godhead can be on earth at one time. So he had to go away. Jesus had to go. He said, I got to go. I got to go. He said, I got to go. If I do not go, the Helper will not come. Well, Jesus, stay, stay. I got to go. It's better for you that I, no, Jesus, stay with us. Don't stay. Look, it's obvious you've overcome death. You're walking around this resurrected body. It walks through doors. It walks, I mean, it's amazing stuff. Hang out with us. Stay with us. No, it's better that I go, because my whole purpose was to get the Holy Spirit in you. I got to go. I got to do it. He said, I'll go. And he says, and I will go. And then I do go. I will send him. Say him. Can't say him, not her, him. I'm not being sexist or anything weird there. What I want to influence is that it's a very real, distinct person. It's the third person of the Godhead. It's Holy Spirit himself. I will send him to you. The third person of the Godhead wants to come, flood you, fill you, saturate you, and once and for all make you his fixed abode. That was God's desire. That was his eternal purpose, to take a bunch of living stones flooded and filled with his nature, power, and ability in person and demonstrate his goodness in the universe. This cannot happen if you don't understand what it is to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Settle down. I know you're excited. All right. Those who can't accept the doctrine of the baptism, those who can't accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit do not have a theological problem, they have a grammatical problem. Deep stuff right there. The Bible's written very clearly, and it's very clearly who the subject is, who the person is, who's the pronoun, who's the verb, all that stuff, who's receiving, who's giving. It's all really, really clear. So we'll take a look at this sentence. Frida pickled the cucumbers in vinegar. Let's break that down. Who's doing the pickling? Frida. Who's getting pickled? The cucumbers. And what are they getting pickled in? Vinegar. Hello! Now, you have incredible theologians who studied themselves into oblivion who somehow can't read simple phrases in the Bible properly. And they explain away the baptism of the Holy Spirit as, well, that's just coming into Christ. It's just that baptism. Just the Pentecostals get it all mixed up. That's like, open your mouth and show me the back of your head. Not picking on anybody. Not picking on anybody. But they're supposed to be the smart people. We Pentecostals are the ones who were all experience-based and, you know, don't get our duckies in a row. It's not true. It's not true. Let's take another one. Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The reason I use the word pickled is because the word baptized is a Greek word, sadly not translated from Greek into English. If it was translated into English, it would be to pickle, to saturate, to impact in such a way it literally changed your nature in every way. Have you ever eaten a cucumber? Have you ever eaten a pickle? What is the difference? Lots of difference, but the difference is one is soaked and saturated for a long period of time, and the whole nature of it has changed. You can. How many can tell the difference between a pickle and a cucumber? How many can tell the difference between a spirit-baptized believer and a believer who believes in cessationism and none of that spiritual stuff's necessary today, you know, and people who believe it's necessary today just are not smart enough and they're not biblical scholars. That's garbage, because that is extra biblical hooby-jooby juice that they've drunk to intoxicate them on a spiritual illiteracy that does not allow them to properly interpret Scripture. Wow, was that ever deep? That was amazing how I got that out right there. You know, it's you have a grammatical problem. It is so clear that Jesus and his purpose for coming, Jesus is the baptizer, and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and you'll be saturated, pickled, just completely, your nature completely transformed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, there's three baptisms. There's several others, but I just want to deal with three basic ones that are essential to your full initiation as a believer. Come on, honey, help me out here. I don't know what happened while I was away. These folks just, you know, kind of got a hallelujah. Poor David, that's a visitor right in front of you. David, you scared the poor lady. My God. Sorry about that, ma'am. I promise to move him next time you come. You know, so. Now, David's like, what is it, Pastor? You want it or don't you? I'm so conflicted. I mean, you know. Three baptisms, real quick, look at this. The Spirit baptizes believer into the body of Christ. And a lot of people confuse that as like, well, that's the same as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. No, it's not, because the Spirit is the baptizer. The Spirit's the baptizer, not Jesus. Jesus is going to baptize you in the Spirit, but the Spirit is the one who comes, makes you alive, and puts you into the body of Christ. When you're born again, it's by the Spirit of God. The wind goes where it will. We don't know. We don't see it, but we feel the influence of it, and I know, and the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God, and I'm in the family. And that's the Spirit baptizing a believer into the body of Christ. Now, who baptizes believers in water? How many have seen a baptism here? Believers are baptized in water by disciples. Disciples baptize believers in water. Powerful dynamic in that. And I can give you a whole teaching on that. In fact, they got one right here if you want to know about water baptism. You got a whole teaching on the power. It's not about getting wet. If you got baptized in water and all you got was wet, you missed an incredible thing in your life. You know, so if you don't understand baptism, you can pick that up from Pastor Cheryl later. It's awesome. She usually sells for $1,000, but today, just for today. All right. How many Toronto Maple Leafs does it take to change a light bulb? We don't know because they're unable to climb the ladder. That was a Montreal Canadian fan with the biggest laugh. That was, you know, easy, down. I'm trying to do a little bit of humility here. All right. Okay, let's go on. Baptizes. All right, baptizes. How many TV evangelists does it take to change the light bulb? Only one, but if you want the light to stay on, keep your offerings coming. So, I just took a sideline there just because I thought you needed to take the pressure off while this heavy teaching was going on. All right. Thank you, Pastor. Say thank you, Pastor. All right. Number three is Jesus baptizes the believer in the Holy Spirit. So the first commandment, what is the first command? Come on, the first command, what is it? Oh, man, you people, what happened? Who teaches you people around here? The first command to the church is not go. The first command of Jesus to the church was wait. Say wait. How many did some weight training? Did anybody do some weight training? Weight training. Wait on the Lord and you shall renew your strength. You'll rise up. Wait on the Lord, I say. Wait, I say. Wait on the Lord. Luke 24:49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay. Other translations, but wait. Come on, abide, dwell here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Where's the power coming from? It's coming from heaven. Before you guys do anything, I know you just did a 40-day seminar with me where I opened your minds and told you everything about the kingdom. You are not ready to go. I, the living word, broke the word, poured it into your hearts, opened your minds to receive revelation. Don't go anywhere with that. I just got taught. No seminary in the world could have given me this kind of knowledge of the word of God. I'm ready. No, you're not. Wait. Wait. See, a lot of people exalt the word. A lot of people have a different trinity. It's Father, Son, and Holy Book. I really do. I know places that champion the fact that we preach the word of God. Hallelujah, just the word. We follow the word. You know, they could have gone out and started a church following the word. They could have had amazing understanding. They could have broke it and given you great understanding of it. But you know what? Jesus said, don't do any of this without the baptism in the Holy Spirit. How many think it's going pretty good so far? All right, okay. Okay, don't. Give me another slide. Come on. Luke 24, 45. Then he thoroughly, this is before, 45 is before 49. How many know that? It's a deep truth right there. So just before he tells them, wait for the Holy Ghost, here's what happened. He thoroughly, I like the Amplified, it says he thoroughly opened their minds to understand the scriptures. See, that doesn't even say that they thoroughly applied themselves to everything he said. That's not what it says. It says he thoroughly opened their minds to understand all the scriptures. How many think that would be a ridiculous experience? How many ever watched, you know, what do they call that, where the Neo and Matrix. Yeah, ever watch that? How many of you have watched that? Just put up your hand. Right, come to the altar now. You need deliverance. All right. Man, what is wrong with you people? Who is your pastor? All right. So, but, you know, you ever watch that when, you know, they go click, I need a download to run a, fly a chopper. Oh, thank you. And then they fly the chopper. You remember that? How many remember that? How many watch the show but can't remember it? I mean, it was amazing they could get this download immediately to do anything. It was like they didn't have to do anything. They said, you know, zap me one of those. You know, suddenly I know how to do kung fu. I mean, amazing stuff. Literally, Jesus opened their mind. How ridiculous would that experience have been? But still, not ready to minister on my behalf. They could have started a decent church, I think. There might be a lot of decent churches around. But God's not looking for decent churches with basic biblical knowledge. He's looking for a body that is saturated and on fire with the Holy Ghost. Now, obviously, the spiritual knowledge was vitally important, or he wouldn't have done it and made it clear to them. But folks, you need the fire of God in your life. Amen. I had a couple of truths there. Was that a true? Was that you with that big true? Really awesome. Good for you. That's good. All right. You must have dunamis. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. He presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, speaking to them of things pertaining the kingdom of God. So Jesus taught them, opened their minds, and he taught them about the kingdom. Why is the kingdom important? Because there's a new king in town. I have proved that I'm the king. I'm going to go sit down at the right hand of the Father. I am done. Now it's WWJD. You got to grow up through life going, what would Jesus do? No, WWJB means watch what Jesus does. Because I'm walking with him. My face is at him. I'm not like, oh, this is a bad one. What would Jesus do? I'm stuck on, watch what Jesus does. Are we in a difficult place now? Watch what Jesus does. I am packing. I am anointed. I am a carrier of the same anointing that was on him. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I'm packing full on right now. And anything I need, he can give it to me at any time. I am equal to this and everything else. Watch what Jesus does. Hello, come on. Let all the excited people say amen. All right, that was good. All right. So 40 represents preparation. In the Bible, 40 represents preparation. He spent 40 days with them in preparation. And then 10 represents testing. So we know that way more than 120 people went through this course with Jesus before Pentecost. But some of them got loose and went church planting before Pentecost. They just decided, I can't wait anymore. They were there for 5 days and said, I'm not sure about this. I'm going to go start my church anyways. Did they, Pastor? No, I'm just messing with you. But a lot of people didn't stay in the 10 days. Now, in the first day, did they expect someone to come in the first day? I think they did. But no one came the first day. And I think they were waiting for another one just like him. I think they might have been waiting for a knock on the door. Are you the Holy Spirit? No, I just heard you guys had free pizza. Oh, we're waiting for the Holy Spirit. I don't know that they even had a real understanding of what it would be or look like, but they were where they were supposed to be. And the Holy Spirit didn't come on day 7. And day 7, I thought he was going to come because on day 7, we had an amazing prayer time together. It's amazing. I mean, Peter led us in prayer, and you know, John stepped into a prophetic song, and I thought surely the Holy Spirit would arrive then, but he never showed up. And sure enough, right when we were all worn out and tired on day 10, but we showed up, we were all sitting there. And all of a sudden, a violent wind came out of heaven, and it came suddenly. What does suddenly mean? How do suddenlies happen to you? Unexpectedly. Oh, you got to be expecting, brother. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost came on Pentecost because they were expecting. Holy Ghost came on Pentecost because it was Pentecost. Let me say that again because some of you missed it. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost because it was Pentecost. If he came a day earlier, he would have been early. If he came a day later, he would have been late. He came on Pentecost because it was Pentecost. They didn't make Pentecost happen. They just showed up. They were in the right place at the right time. Quite simply, they were obedient. It wasn't about the quality of their waiting. It wasn't about anything else except that they were all in the same place at the same time when the Holy Ghost came because it was the day of Pentecost. But I could build a whole doctrine for you right now that the Holy Ghost came because they made it happen. They had nothing to do with it except they showed up. But I could turn you all into a frenzy of, wow, let's all scream and shout, wah! Try to get the Holy Ghost to come. He came. Boy, you guys are excited today. Hey, man, are you focused? Are you focused? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, so give me another slide then. All right, so Pentecost, what does Pentecost mean, Pastor? What does it mean? You know what it means? It means 50. That's what it means. It just means 50. It's a compound word. What is it a compound word of, Pastor? It's a compound word of 5 and 0. 50. There's no deep revelation about it, except exactly 50 days after Passover, we celebrate Pentecost. Not on 49, not on 51, but on 50. We celebrate Pentecost. All right. Now, some of you have never heard any of this stuff. You're looking at me like, wow, what's going on? You need to know this. You need to hear this. You need to receive the Holy Ghost because that Pentecost made your Pentecost possible, and you can have Pentecost today, right now. All right, so this compound word means that. All right, let's go on. Three major feasts, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Those are the three major feasts. There's several others, small ones in the middle, and even in those feasts, there's smaller parts to the feast. But there's three major feasts, Passover. Passover has been fulfilled. Jesus is their Passover. Jesus, right on the day of Passover, Jesus was the lamb slain for the sins of the whole world. Right on Passover, when they were celebrating the feast and they were sacrificing their lamb, at the same time, the Lamb of God was crucified outside the city for the sins of the whole world. And God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting their sins against them. How amazing is that verse? God was in Christ, separating unbelievers, or separating just believers from their sins. No, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Not the church, not believers, not Israel. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Wow! Wow. Wow. So that's what happened at Passover. 50 days later is Pentecost. Pentecost, well, it was a feast that they celebrated, and we'll talk about Pentecost. Going to give you some stuff in a minute, but Pentecost was in the third month, and it was to celebrate the giving of the law. Say the law. Pentecost was when they came out of Egypt, and they came out. Moses went up the mountain. He was gone a long time, and they couldn't handle the test, and they started being misbehaving. But anyway, God gave the law, so they celebrated that the law was given 50 days after Passover. That's why they did that. All right. How many are excited already? This stuff is just blowing your mind. All right. Good. Pentecost, the giving of the law. And then the third one is tabernacles. Tabernacles has not yet been fulfilled. They still practice tabernacles. It's still practiced. And tabernacles is amazing because they'd move out into tents. And they'd remember when they were in the wilderness and they didn't have a land yet. So they went out and they remembered that we were in tents and God promised us a country. The beautiful thing is that they went into the tents to show that we are not in tents anymore. We have moved fully in. We're no longer living outside of the experience of God, but we've been brought fully in to him. And in tabernacles is when Christ comes, when Jesus comes. And you see, no longer are we outside of the fullness of that experience, but we're completely brought into the whole experience of tabernacles. And the most important thing is, it was a celebration of harvest. And there's going to be a ridiculous, incredible harvest in these last days, and he's going to bring many sons to glory. So that's the one we're looking forward to. It's powerful stuff, the tabernacles. All right, so Passover, Jesus provides his righteousness. Pentecost, Spirit empowers us to minister. Ministers of his righteousness, tabernacles, his harvest, and Jesus returns to gather the righteous. All right, so the very day that the Jews from around the world gather in Jerusalem to reaffirm their commitment to the law, they still do it today, to reconfirm their commitment to the law of Moses, the Holy Spirit descends on that very day, and then he descends on them, and he takes the law that you're celebrating, and he writes it on your heart. He takes it from being an external religion of performance where he does it once and for all. He performs upon you a revelation where it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. No longer do we have an external law, but the law is completely fulfilled, and the law is written on our hearts, empowering us to minister. The law was skin deep, but the gospel of grace goes right to the core of who you are. Amen. Let me say that again, because that was a really good place to say amen. The law is only skin deep. In fact, the power of sin is the law. The power of sin is more sin. No, the power of sin is the law. But grace empowers us and enables us and causes us to rise up, because grace goes deep in, right into our very conscience. Grace completely transforms us and removes that nature and brings us one with Christ himself. Let me do a quick contrast of these two. The first Pentecost, all right, the first Pentecost was in Exodus chapter 19 through 32. It was 50 days later, just like Acts chapter 2, 50 days later. There were flames on the mountain and there was shaking. There was flames at this. Well, there was, the law was given, 10 commandments written on tablets of stone, how to live. That was interesting. And then there was a drunken party that took place and 3,000 people died. That's what happened at the first Pentecost. Let's look at the Pentecost we celebrate. Acts chapter 2, 50 days, flames and a violent wind from heaven. The Spirit comes, the law is put on our heart, power to live. And then there's a drunken party takes place and 3,000 people come into the kingdom. How many think this pattern, this symbolism, how many think that all of these things that happen, wow, that's pretty amazing. It looks almost the same. How many think that was just a chance? It was absolutely God. But what amazes me is that this aspect of Pentecost was a God thing, a powerful God thing for every believer to own. And yet Pentecost is discarded by so much of the body of Christ today as an unnecessary issue in your life. Being a tongue-talking, spirit-filled, wild, fire-breathing, Holy Ghost-empowered, spirit-filled believer is, yeah, that's over the top. We don't do that stuff around here. Around here, we love the word, hallelujah. Oh, so you guys left the upper room early before the Spirit came. What? The Spirit, what? Just kidding. Fire! Fire! Fire. You can tell when somebody's been pickled. I mean, they knew these people were drunk. They said it's 9 o'clock in the morning, these people have been tipping kind of early. They were whacked in the Holy Ghost. Whacked. I mean, these people are whacked. They are out of control. It was a sign and a wonder. And aren't you glad it came out of the upper room? Aren't you glad it wasn't a party that stayed in the upper room and went, what an awesome meeting that was. Okay, folks, come on, pull yourself together. Let's go home now. See you, George. See you, Fred. Hey, Mary, nice to see you again. Are you kidding? They got whacked and fell out into the street and everybody went, what is going on? In fact, they said, what is this? And Peter said, this is that. It was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the Holy Ghost falling on the people of God. Woo! And you can have some. And 3,000 people said, let me in. And then every day they were added. Then it increased and multitudes were coming into the kingdom. Say amen, Pastor. Amen. All right, so it's an experience beyond just being born from above. It's an experience beyond being born from above. Say experience. God is a wild experience. He really is a wild experience. So it's an experience beyond just being born from above. Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. when it had fully come, when it was time, when the feast day had come. Holy Spirit couldn't come early, he couldn't come late, he had to come on that day. When he had fully come, it says a violent wind from heaven, and they knew where it came from heaven, it hit the house, everything is shaking and baking, and then all of a sudden it looked like fire. I mean, literally fire came and fire danced on every person's head. The fire of God came and consumed every person, and then every one of us was given utterance to speak in tongues, and we were just messed up. We were so messed up. We were so overwhelmed that the people who watched what happened when we fell out of the upper room, they thought we were intoxicated. When's the last time you got accused of being intoxicated in the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm not about doing something or making something up or hype for the sake of hype. I mean, where you are literally controlled by the Holy Ghost. Powerful stuff. All right, the day of Pentecost had fully come. The Spirit came and danced on every one of their heads, and the church was born that day. The body of Christ was born that day. It was not individuals who got baptized. Although individuals got the Holy Ghost, it wasn't an individual experience. It was a corporate body. In fact, you look at the Bible. The Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. It does not say, I have. And the word is very specific. Together, corporately, we have the mind of Christ. There is a baptism of a corporate body that takes place. If you're not hooked up with a corporate body, you don't have the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ is a we thing. It's a corporate thing. The baptism's a corporate thing. You must be a part of the body of Christ. Hello. Hello. Shout at me. Do something. Tell me you're alive. Am I seeing a vision or what happened? All right. Good. It's an experience. It's something powerful. And you shall receive the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. Say to you. Point to your neighbor, say it's for you. Point to your children, say it's for you. It's for you. Now say to everybody, to every generation, even generations yet to come, because it doesn't mean people far away distance. It means people far away generationally and people far away in time, which includes you. Every generation should be whacked and baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Shout amen, even if you don't know what's going on. All right, good, good, good. All right, so they're all filled. Everybody was completely filled with the Holy Ghost. Now look, we've had some experiences. Have you had some experience? I had an experience. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. When I was a teenager, I was in a meeting, and the guy was preaching on the Holy Ghost. I said, I want some. I went to the front. They were praying for me, and all of a sudden, somewhere out of my belly, I was like, whew. I tell you, I got wrapped up in the power of God. Oh, you mean if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you got to speak in tongues? No, but if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can speak in tongues. And the Apostle Paul says you should speak in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you, and you should too. And this praying in the Spirit and speaking in tongues, this gift from the Father is so awesome, and you should do it because there's benefits to it. But I tell you, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, something changes your life, because it says you shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. When? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Directly connected to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No other baptism but that baptism. Power. Oh, I'm not baptized in the Spirit and I've got power. You do. But imagine if you're baptized in the Spirit. Dunamis. Power. So I was baptized. How many know that we read Acts 2, they were baptized in the Spirit. We read Acts 4, they were filled with the Spirit again. The whole place shook. We read in Acts chapter 8, they were filled with the Spirit. We read when they went out and ministered in Acts chapter 8. We read in Acts 10, where people were filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 19, when Paul went up to Ephesus and he found some disciples, say disciples. Found some disciples, but he said, man, you disciples, just something missing. I don't know what's going on, but he's preaching at a service. He's going, you guys are disciples, right? And he says, he's preaching. They're like, ah. So you guys are disciples. Yeah, yeah. And we got the baptism of John, all that stuff, dunked in water, all that. Yep, heard about Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, man. Hold on a sec. Have you guys been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? No. I think the guy who came and taught us left before the 10 days was up, because we didn't get that part. Apparently they don't teach that at his seminary. Oh, okay, hold on a second then. Let's lay hands on you. Lays hands on them, and they all got whacked in the Holy Ghost and all spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, I know, don't get freaked out about tongues. Please get excited about tongues. But everywhere in the Bible where they got the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were signs and there were wonders. Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius' house, the first Gentile guy. Peter goes there. Peter's like, I don't even know why I'm here. This isn't for Gentile people. But anyways, I saw this vision about unclean animals, and here I am. And he's like, preaches sermon, da-di-da-di-da-di-da. When do I get to go home? Da-di-da-di-da-di-da. And all of a sudden, Holy Ghost interrupts the sermon and says, Peter, you're a brutal preacher. He falls on them all. They all get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then they all look and go, oh, my goodness. Gentile people got baptized just like we did. The exact same thing happened to them that happened to us. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Amen. Say amen. All right. If you're halfway Pentecostal, shout. If you're mostly Pentecostal, shake your foot. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, so, I mean, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost when I was a teenager, but, I mean, even after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I successfully messed up my life here and there. Here and there. Honestly, it was everywhere. It wasn't just here and there. It was like, it was pretty much a massive wreck. But anyway, you know, then I came back to the Lord, and I got whacked again, and then there's been times and seasons in my life where I've just got waves of God. I mean, we had a revival here in 95, 96, where I got whacked again in such a big way, totally revolutionized my life, and there's periods in my life where I'm constantly a baptized believer, but I have these ongoing infillings of God that are amazing, times where I have experiences with him that totally overwhelm me, where literally it's a supernatural experience with God. What do you mean supernatural? It's not natural. It's like supernatural. It's like he has pressed his way in and through me, and I'm completely overwhelmed with his presence. You can have one Pentecost, but you can have many infillings and many experiences and many blessings of God. Can I get an amen with that one? Thank you, honey. Let me read you a few experiences really, really fast. D.L. Moody. How many remember D.L. Moody? Moody Bible Institute. Remember that fellow? Good guy. D.L. Moody, successful minister. By his own admission, he said, I lack power in ministry. One day, two women came up to him after service and said, we've been praying for you. And he said, don't pray for me, pray for the people. And they said, well, we're praying for you. What are you praying for me for? Because you need the power. You need the Spirit. And he was insulted. He said, don't pray for me. I'm preaching. Pray for the people who need Jesus. He said, no, we're praying for you because you don't got the power. True story. So he said, I need the power. Why? Said Mr. Moody in relating the incident years later. He said, I thought I had the power. I got the largest congregation in Chicago, and there are many conversions. So Moody also said that in a sense, he was satisfied. He was in a comfort zone. But these two women rocked his boat. These two women told him that they were praying for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon him to have the special service of God. He could not get this off his mind. There came such a hunger in his soul that he didn't know what it was. He began to cry out to God as never before. He said, I felt like I did not want to live if I could not have this power for service. After the great fire of Chicago, how many listened to me? You just caught in there. You just like sucked right in. Three people. All right. So after the Chicago fire, D.L. was working to raise money to rebuild the tabernacle. And he said his heart was not into it because he kept crying to God to fill him. And he withdrew and he prayed during a visit to New York to raise money. And he cried out to God to fill him with the Spirit. And then he said this. He said, well, one day in New York City, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred an experience to name. But as Paul had an experience of which he never spoke of for 14 years, I can only say that God revealed himself to me. I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went again to begin preaching. He said the sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. And I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me the whole world, it would be as the small dust of the balance. He got wrecked in the Holy Ghost. Those people messed with his doctrine, messed with his place, and said, you need a saturation and anointing of the Holy Ghost. He went and he sought after that. It was an experience beyond being born again. Say beyond. R.A. Torrey, a contemporary of D.L. Moody. He said, the address this afternoon and the addresses of the days immediately to follow are the outcome of an experience. Say experience. the outcome of an experience that I had. The outcome of this experience is why this brought me into the study of the Word. After I'd been a Christian for some years, and after I'd been in the ministry for some years, my attention was strongly attracted to certain phrases found in the Gospel and in the Acts of the Apostle, such as being baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell upon them, the gift of the Holy Spirit, endued with power from on high, and other closely allied phrases. I studied these verses out in their various contexts. It became clear to me that they all stood for essentially the same experience, and it also became clear to me that God has provided for each child of His in the present dispensation that they should be thus baptized with the Spirit or filled with the Spirit of God. This was R.A. Torrey. He went and he preached a hunger. He preached fire in people's hearts, and that's why Azusa Street and many of those things happened, because the Holy Spirit began to visit these fathers in the faith, and they began to seek God, and they sought that experience. They began to minister, even out of their lack of understanding, out of their own hunger, they began to minister this anointing, this baptism, this power of the Holy Ghost that we all need. Thank you for that. It was good. He said, I studied it further, convinced as they described the experience, and I did not possess it myself. I went to work to secure it for myself and experienced this. I sought earnestly that I might be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I went at it very ignorantly. I have often wondered if anyone ever met me. They said he had always meets a sincere and an earnest soul, no matter how ignorant he may be. And God gave me what I sought. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the result was a transformed Christian life and a transformed ministry. These are powerful men of God, people who would be fathers in many of the Baptist traditions and many of these other traditions, Reformed traditions. And these are the fathers of that, and yet they said, I cannot minister without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Billy Graham, even with Stephen Olford, Billy Graham talks about an experience he had. I've got it all written here, but just to save time, he was in a hotel room, and he said wave after wave, he got impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Charles Finney, he and his wife, they would get so impacted by the Holy Spirit, they couldn't move. His wife would be laid out on the floor. He said, I felt terrible. I'd bring visitors home and guests home, and I thought my wife might make a coffee or a biscuit, and she's laid out on the floor under the power of God. Anyways, you can research it yourself if you're hungry. All right, hallelujah. Let's wrap it up. You ready? Say wrap it up, Pastor. Acts chapter 8, 18 and 19. Simon saw the moving through the laying on of hands of the apostles. The Holy Spirit was given. And you see, he saw when the apostles came and he laid hands on them and the Holy Spirit came on them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. He saw Philip doing miracles. He knew how to do miracles. But when he saw them lay hands on people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, that I'll pay money for. Something so dynamic took place when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost that a guy who already knew how to perform miracles, already saw Philip do miracles, already saw demons cast out and everything else, but when he saw people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, he said, I would like to be able to do that. Because it was powerful. Something so significant took place when people were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Acts 19, I already talked about that when Paul said, you know, if you guys received the Holy Ghost, they're like, we didn't even know. Acts chapter 1, 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Many of your Bibles will say colon or semicolon. Now, what does a colon mean, Catherine? What's a colon mean? You've taken more grammar than I have. It means the thought is complete. It means it's finished. That's done. That thought on its own is solid. That thought stands on its own. You shall receive what? You see, a lot of people bring the other part in and they say, well, what you get at Pentecost is the ability to witness. That's not what it says. It says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, let me say something beyond that. You're also going to be my witnesses. In Judea, Samaria. But people have attached, well, the Holy Ghost falling was only to be witnesses. That's not it. The Holy Ghost came to give you power. 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 1 Corinthians 2:4 says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Today, in churches, everybody's trying to be the smartest preacher. I love my church. I go to my churches. We have the smartest preacher. My preacher has a TV ministry and a radio ministry. He teaches millions of people all over the earth. I have the most wonderful pastor. Paul's saying, I'm not a good preacher. I don't use words of wisdom or persuasive stuff. He says, I don't want to do that because he says, I don't want people's transition into faith to be on philosophy or rhetoric. I want it to be on the power of God. We're all running around looking for the cutest preacher. Hallelujah. I know we do have it all. All right. Said, my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word. The kingdom, the manifestation of the king, the reign of the king, the domain of the king is not in word. It doesn't come by talking. And the talking that he said is logos. The power of God's not in a Bible study, although that's awesome. And although you need Bible study, because when the Spirit of God gets on you, you need some word in there. But the kingdom is not a matter of talk. It's not of logos. The kingdom is power. See, here's what Paul said. Paul said, when I come, I'm going to test you guys. And he didn't say, I'm going to test your Bible studies or what you're teaching the people. He said, I'm going to come and find out what kind of power you operate in. Say power. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's okay. It's all right. He was on holidays. I don't know. He's frustrated. I don't know what's going on. All right. Romans 15:18-19. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. I will not speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished in me in word and deed to make the disciples obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. See, Paul's saying, the only thing I want to say to you, it has nothing to do with me, but I want to tell you only what God himself did through me through power, through signs and wonders. Where's one place in the Bible in his journeys that he did not leave a church? Where's one place? I'll tell you, Athens. There was no church there, but what did he do in Athens? He tried to enter into philosophy. He tried to enter into, oh, a whole bunch of guys are talking. There's all kinds of rhetoric going on. These guys are all, see, and those in Athens, they loved to talk. And they'd all talk. It didn't matter if you could do it. It just mattered that you talk about it. Oh, what a lovely lecture. Oh, there's another one over here. Oh, that was very eloquent, very interesting. And Paul went, I could talk. I could do this. So Paul decided, I'm going to talk. Hey, over here, you got this unknown God thing. Hey, give me a chance to share. And he shared, and he ministered. And was there a church established there? No. Because he tried to, through the power of man's wisdom and rhetoric, build a church. And right after that, it says he went to Corinth. How did he go to Corinth? In much fear and trembling. Why? Holy cow. What was I thinking? And when he got to Corinth, he said, I claim to know nothing except Christ crucified. That's why. It's all about him. It's all about the cross. It's all about the power of the Holy Ghost. Do not leave home without it. Hello, all right. Let me give you something really fast. You ready? Who's ready? Who wants to get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Who wants a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost? Who wants the power of God to change your life, your world, and everything around you? Come back next week. Hallelujah. I'm going to give it to you right now. Ready? Accept the promise. It's a promise. Does God make promises? Does he keep promises? Is he faithful? What did he promise you? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Did he go? Did he send him? Yes. Is he still here? Yes. Okay. Ask for the Holy Spirit's baptism. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you've come. And the word says that Jesus will baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. So Jesus, right now, baptize me, saturate me, pickle me, Papa, with the Holy Ghost and power. Oh, wow. My spirit's on the floor. I'm going to keep speaking. All right. Number three, confess that you've received the Holy Spirit. Did you ask for it? Did he give it? Did he give it? So how do you confess that you received it? Thank you. Oh, thank you. He's not a liar. He'll give you. He even said about the Holy Spirit, I mean, if you ask for bread, will he give you a rock? I'm going to give you. He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. He said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Kingdom is synonymous with Holy Ghost. I can't prove that to you right now, but it is. I could prove it to you right now, but we don't have time. All right. Number four, act on your confession of faith. All right, I got my notes here. just people will be screaming, running around, spirits, visions, dreams, just next week. Come on, stand up with me. I'm going to pray for you. Now, we want to be a Pentecostal people, amen? I'm not at, or it's not about being a Pentecostal denomination. It's not a, being Pentecostal is a denomination. Some people think it is. Well, I'm Pentecostal. Really? Being Pentecostal is not a denomination. Being Pentecostal isn't some odd, strange, fringe group in the body of Christ. Being Pentecostal is a call to every single believer in the body of Christ. And you need to be someone. For me, what do you mean Pentecostal? That just means to me that you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. That you know that. You know that. I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm a baptized in the Holy Spirit believer. Say, can you say that clearly? I'm a baptized in the Holy Spirit believer. You need to be able to say that. If you don't think you can say that, then go back to that slide for me. Can you go back to that one slide? If you can't say that with absolute clarity, I am a baptized, spirit-filled believer. If you can't say that, then accept the promise right now. Say, accept that it's a promise to me. And now say, Jesus baptized me in the Holy Spirit. Then just say, thank you. And now just loose that reality in your life every day. He said today, I will walk with you. I will be with you. I'll be in your face. I will fill your vision. I will lead you, guide you, and empower you. You need my power to do anything that you're doing. So be baptized right now. In the name of Jesus, be baptized in the Holy Spirit and on fire. Now, if you've never been baptized in the Spirit and you just, I need more than what just happened there, Pastor. There's people coming right now. They're going to come to the front. There's people ready to pray for you. They're going to lay hands on you. And when they minister to you, you'll know that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Many of you, you've never spoken in tongues before. Don't know what that's all about. But you believe it's a gift from the Father. And you're willing to accept that today. You can't. It says that the Spirit of God filled them and they began to speak. Say, they began to speak. See, you'll get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then you speak. Just speak. Speak. A lot of times people are like, my tongue's here. Like, yeah, nothing happened. Speak. You begin to speak. The Spirit baptized you. He baptized you. Now you speak. And as you speak, you'll begin to speak in tongues. And you'll feel a connection and a flow of that gift in your life. All right, now one more. Just all eyes closed and heads bowed. One more thing. You ready? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you just wandered in and you're like, wow, this has been a pretty amazing time. I know that I'm in the presence of God. But you don't know him as your personal Savior. I want to make sure that you know him today before you go. So if you're here today and you say, would you pray for me? I don't know Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, but I want to right now. If that's you, just anywhere. I'm going to count to three. You put up your hand. You ready? Here it is. One, two, three. Just raise your hand really high where I can see it. Really high. Thank you. Anyone else? Just lift it up really high. Please lift it up really high. I want to know him as my Lord and Savior. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, everybody. Pray this with me. You ready? Everybody pray it. You got your hand up. You pray it. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank you for reconciling me to my Father. Fill me with your Spirit. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Just like that, it says, believe in your heart, believe, and confess with your mouth. It says, you shall be saved. So there's an experience there that took place for you. You are a child of God. Your sins are forgiven. His power and majesty in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. You need prayer. You need to get ministered to. You need to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to stay here. We're going to minister to you. We're going to see you through, all right? I want to bless everybody now. Holy Spirit, thank you. I pray that this revelation would be something that people would get hungry for, that they would seek it out for themselves, that they'd really own walking with you and knowing you personally. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now, just smear everyone, infect everyone with a hunger for you, a desperation for more of you. We don't need just a whole bunch of Bible knowledge. We need the power from on high. So Holy Spirit, just again, fill afresh, baptize anew this fellowship, I pray. So I loose them right now in the wonderful love of the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and in the comfort and in the fellowship and partnership of Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Come on, the altars are open. Come.